Hello, book besties. Welcome to episode 22 of the Books and Muckers podcast. I'm Shai.
I'm Em.
Grab a drink, get cozy, let's talk books.
Hello.
Hi, how are we?
I'm good, how are you?
I am very well. Happy recording day.
Happy recording day. I can't believe we're almost into April. Where is this year going?
Just don't. But the positive is that we're one step closer to Daydream.
We are. We are one step closer to Daydream, and we are also one step, albeit a small step, we are one step closer to the third installment of the Empyrean series.
We are. And do you know what, actually? I think in order to deal with how much of a gap there's been between the last book and this one, I've almost like put it into a dark corner of my mind and tried not to think about it. But thank you for reminding me.
Do you know what? Well, to be fair, I actually did the same thing, and I've been trying not to think about it. But then I think when last week we were talking about Fourth Wing being released on paperback, it's brought it to the forefront of my mind. But yeah, we are getting there. Before we know it, it's going to be here, and we'll be in the middle of that world all over again.
Yeah, cannot wait. It's going to be a good time. Although I'm scared, I'll be honest. I mean, this isn't an Empyrean or Fourth Wing episode, but I'm terrified for what Miss Yaros is going to do to us.
Yeah, I think just the way that Iron Flame ended, which obviously we're not going to talk about, we're obviously not going to give away any spoilers, but yeah, I think the way that that book ended, there's a lot of question marks, and there's a lot of fear and anxiety over where she's going to take it. But anyway, back to this episode. So this week we're going to be doing our March roundup. So we'll go over the books that we've read. We've got a few little kind of updates, and we're also going to go over new books that are being released for April.
Well, we say we. I mean, I feel like I'm not going to have much to say this episode. I'll chime in on yours.
No, I mean, we do have a couple of things to discuss. So first of all, shall we go over the books that we have read in April? I'm going to throw it out to you to start, because I mean, obviously last week we spoke about how you are in a reading slump, so we know this isn't going to be your biggest month. But yeah,
well, we're like a week out from the official end of the month, so I'm gonna say Love Theoretically and Hopeless, although I'm halfway through Hopeless, it will be done by the end of the month. So that Love Theoretically, Ellie Hazelwood, and Hopeless, that is my wrap up.
Cool. And Hopeless, how are you getting on with it? How far into it are you at the minute?
I'm not too far. It's my plan today to try and finish it, because it's not so much of a long book. I think I'm going to sit down and just try and like power through. Bo is growing on me. So Bo is the male lead. He's growing on me. And I quite like the female lead as well. I quite like Bailey. She's funny. I think Elsie Silver does quite good funny women. Quite strong, funny, but yet they're still quite soft and feminine, and she's really good at those kinds of characters. So yes, they are growing on me as a couple.
I haven't started Hopeless yet, but I am excited to read it. And both Bailey and Bo, we have been introduced to earlier in the series, so we've had a little insight into them. But I am excited to read their book and their story. So I have currently, as you say, we're still about a week out from the end of March. I have read so far 6 books this month.
Mm-hmm.
So the first I read, it's actually it's an all-male duology by AJ Daniel, and that was Ice in the Kicker and Hat Trick, and it's American Football. It was really good. I enjoyed it. I haven't read a lot of sort of male books previously, but I enjoyed it. It was different. I quite liked seeing it from like a different point of view rather than kind of male female. It was just obviously different dynamics. Then I read If You Hate Me by Helena Hunting, Binding 13, Keeping 13 by Chloe Walsh, and then My Arc of the Tape Job by Alice J. Clarke. So that's what I've read so far this month. And I'm going to be honest, since I finished the tape job, I haven't read anything new. And that's been about a week since I finished that. Yeah, ironically, after what we spoke about last week, I think Binding and Keeping 13 have put me in a little sort of mini slump, just because they were so incredible. I don't really know where to go next. They're the type of books I can't really get them out of my head.
Mm-hmm.
And I I'm not quite sure where to go next. So as much as we have a week left of the month, I have just been doing a few rereads. Interestingly, when I edited the episode for last week, I was listening to the tips that we had given out about reading slumps, and I've taken a couple of those on, as in I've done a little bit of annotation. I've been rereading some books that I really enjoy, and I think it's definitely helping. But yeah, for the rest of the month, I just don't know where to go. I have started ACOTAR. I did put this on my Instagram yesterday. I have started ACOTAR. Granted, I've only read the first sort of few pages. I'm hoping I'm in the right mindset for it. But I think, obviously, I spoke to you about this outside of the pod. And I think I do need to go a different direction. Obviously, ACOTAR, as much as it is still sort of fantasy romantic, it's not my usual go-to. So I think it's a good place for me to go next.
Yeah, I was thinking about this actually because ACOTAR was my recommendation. And having recommended it, I got quite jealous because I was like, oh, I really wish that I could read that series for the first time again. I didn't realize how much I absolutely loved the series. And I think upon reflection, I just want to say to you, I really, 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 really hope that you do not judge the series by the first book. Like, I don't think that there is a person who is a fan of the ACOTAR series that would say that the first book is their first. And I think it's actually the worst. People tend to say that it's the worst book of the series. And I think I'm so terrified. I know it sounds so dramatic, but genuinely, because I love it so much, I'm scared of you not liking it. But I'm terrified that you're going to be put off and you won't go on and you won't see what it is that I love about the series as a whole. So yeah, I'm on the edge of my seat waiting for you to get to 50%. 50% it picks up.
See, yeah, you've said this to me before, and I think I'm going into the book with a very open mind. And bearing in mind that I'm not somebody who's overly fantasy minded, I always have to go into fantasy with quite an open mind anyway. It's like when you first recommended Fourth Wing to me, and you were all, oh, it's dragons and they talk. And I thought, oh, Lord, here we go. But obviously, completely fell in love with that entire series. With this one, again, you've sort of said, oh, well, they're fairies with wings. And I've thought, okay, keep an open mind. Just remember how good Fourth Wing was. But yeah, I think I'm getting into my head that the first half of the book, I'm going to keep my mind open to just learning about the world, learning about the world that she's building, the characters, the type of species that they are, and just learning about that. And I'm going into it with a very open mind. I think when it comes to the rest of the series, what I will say is, one, the fact that you love it so much is making me already want to read the series, but also the hype, the fan art, the amount that people go on about the characters and how they're all, their top book boyfriends. I feel like this series I need to read.
You do.
So yes, I would say I know where you're coming from, especially when it comes to fantasy and me. I know. But no, I'm actually excited for it. I am. And I think that's, I'm going to focus this week. I'm going to continue doing rereads just because it's where my comfort lies. There's certain books that I just love. I will read over and over. So I'm comfortable with that. But I do, the thing is, I have ACOTAR in physical form as well, not on Kindle. So I'm actually going to read the physical book, which I'm looking forward to. And I've not sat with a physical book for a while. So I'm actually really excited for that. But no, this week, ACOTAR is where I'm going.
Exciting. I'm happy that you said about the world building as well, because it's not the heaviest world to get into, but there is, it's not reality. So I'm happy that you've gone into it with that sort of mindset, and just paying attention to the politics of it all, because I think that's such a big part of fantasy is always the politics that are underlying it. Well, with romanticism anyway. So yeah, I'm excited. Guys, I cannot wait until she meets that character, and I can't wait to get the message when she's like, oh my God, kicking, screaming,
I know.
laughing.
I feel like this is going to be another Fourth Wing situation where you are getting voice messages from me, you're getting text messages, and I feel like I'm going to get to the point where, yeah, exactly, I'm screaming, kicking, messaging you, just what is going on.
Yeah.
I'm excited for it.
I am. Oh, while we're on future plans, actually, we're staying in the Sarah J. Maas universe. No one, listen, if you finished all of her books and you done ACOTAR, Throne of Glass, Crescent City, I don't want to hear your opinion.
She said it.
I'm not taking it back. I'm not sorry. I'm going from ACOTAR to Crescent City. You're not
Good.
meant to, but I am.
I'm glad you are, because we spoke about this the other day on FaceTime, and I know you were very conflicted because there's an order that you're supposed to, I'm going to put this in air quotes, supposed to read them. But yeah, so I said, look, take the rule book, chuck it out the window, you do it. So I'm excited you've made this decision.
Yeah, I am feeling quite excited about reading again. I am planning to get through Hopeless. I want to try and finish it today, and I want to try and start. This is quite ambitious for me, but we're going to go with it. I want to try and start Crescent City on Sunday and get like a good chunk of it done before next week. But yeah, I'm so excited. I've been watching spoiler-free reading vlogs on YouTube because it's my favorite thing to do before I read a book. So I like to sort of like gauge whether or not this is going to be good. And actually, a few of the reading vlogs that I've watched, the people haven't read Throne of Glass because they're like it doesn't feel like my type of thing. So I've just skipped straight to Crescent City, and that gives me hope because they're saying that actually people are like, oh, the politics are too much, the world is too much, I don't get it, and they're like, it's not that bad. So, because it's like, even though it's fantasy, it's set in the modern world. They've got phones, they go to college, they're like, it feels almost human-like, which I'm really excited about.
Good. Oh, well, that's exciting. I'm really pleased that you have come to that conclusion, because as I say, I know you were very conflicted, and I was a little bit worried that you were going to feel pressurized to move onto Throne of Glass when I knew in your heart of hearts you didn't want to at the minute. So I'm pleased. I'm really pleased for you. So having a look forward into April, is there anything that is just before we go into the books that are being released in April? Do you have anything personally that you want to achieve reading wise in April? Any books that you really want to pick up?
Well, the first Crescent City book.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully, if I like it, I want to try and do the second one as well. I mean, that would be over 1,000 pages in total worth of reading. So I don't want to overcommit because they are 800-page long books, which is, I think I can cut myself some slack and just do the two of them for April.
Absolutely.
But if I don't enjoy them, I think I might go in a completely different direction, potentially do Crescent City and then do Happy Place by Emily Henry and then see how I feel after that.
Okay, cool. Well, I think for me, I'm going to be 100% honest here. So I spoke about this a couple of weeks ago, that Binding and Keeping 13, I got in the March 99 pence Kindle sale. Now, I really, really want to go on and read Redeeming and Saving Six, which are the next two books in the series. Right now, this series is not on Kindle Unlimited, so it is you need to purchase them or buy the physical books or buy them on Kindle. I'm going to be honest, I'm not buying them on Kindle. They're £5.49 each, which, no, it's not expensive. And to be fair, the size of these books, that's actually a bargain. But you do tend to find, just watching the last few months on the 99 pence sales on Kindle, if there's one of a series in one of the months on the 99 pence deal, the next couple of months, usually the next ones in the series are on there. So I am going to wait until the 1st of April to see if Redeeming and Saving Six come on to the sale. So if they do, to be fair, even if they don't, I think I'm going to buy them because I really want to read the next two books. So they are on my April TBR. I also want to maybe get through the first three books of ACOTAR, just because I know that you said ACOTAR, the first three books is sort of like a mini completed series, and then the fourth's a bit of a novella to those, and then you've got the fifth and the sixth books, which are they're within the world but sort of different. So I think if I can get through the first three, potentially first four, depending on how the month's going, I would like to do that. So I think, yeah, the next two books in Boys of Tommen and the first three in ACOTAR, that's my goal for April. But we do know we've spoken a lot about the fact that we're both big mood readers. So if I stay to that, we'll see. Which sort of actually nicely leads me on to the books that are coming out in April. So I've picked out five, which we're quite excited for. So the first one on the 2nd, Megan Quinn has Bridesmaid for Hire being released. I've spoken before about how much I love Megan Quinn. She's a very funny writer. I really like her books. And yeah, I'm excited for that one. We've also got one coming out on the 9th, which is Wild Love by Elsie Silver. Now, I think this is a
Yeah.
new series, but I know you're quite excited for this one.
I am actually, yeah, it's on my list.
Yeah, so that's coming out on the 9th. Then on the 16th, Taming Seven, which is the 5th book in the Boys of Tommen series, it's being released then. So ideally, I would like to get the next two books done before that one comes out,
Okay, yeah.
so that I'm ready to go on to that, because that is the only thing. I am seeing quite a lot of spoilers on TikTok for Boys of Tommen, and I'm having to quickly flick past them. So if I can catch up, that'll be a good one. Candy Steiner has the next book in her hockey series, Learn Your Lesson, coming out on the 19th, which I'm quite excited about. I've put this one in there because neither of us have actually read this series, but it's one that is on my TBR, and that is the King of Sins series by Anna Hwang. The 4th
Okay.
book in that series, King of Sloth, comes out on the 30th of April. So I've put it in there just because, as I say, it is on my TBR.
That name.
Yeah, it's an odd one. As I say, I haven't read any of the books in the King of Sins series, but it is something I'm quite intrigued by.
Sloth.
Yeah, it's
Where has
yeah.
that come from?
Well, this thing, I don't know because I haven't read the books, but
That's
yeah, I just
interesting. It makes me think of the creature. That's not hot.
No, it's not. So I have no idea, but it's getting a lot of traction on TikTok and Instagram. People love this series and it's very, very highly anticipated. So I have put that in there. But yeah, so I'm excited for April. Big books coming out.
In terms of bookish updates, people. Jacqueline Wilson has spoken. The Queen, the legend. I think if you are a female who reads as an adult, you more than likely read a good few of Miss Jacqueline Wilson's books. And she has come out and said that she's doing kind of like a follow-on to a series that she had done in her early career. And it's going to be an adult book. Guy, listen. The child in me was sobbing yesterday. I was on her Wikipedia page and I having a little look at all of the books that she's done before and just seeing even the covers to some of the books. Oh my goodness. I could tear up again.
It's very exciting. And I think if you, I think if you're a millennial, you will probably have come across Jacqueline Wilson at some point. I mean, her books, her children's books are incredible. We spoke about this earlier on, and the sheer nostalgia from looking through, as you say, the covers, even the titles of the books, yeah, I mean, I'm very, very excited. I love Jacqueline Wilson. I always loved her writing. I'm a little nervous. And the reason I'm saying that is because Ali Hazelwood's a perfect example in that we absolutely love her adult books. Her young adult didn't hit so good. Are we going to see the reverse? Amazing children's books into adult, is it? You know, is it going to be good? I really, really want it to be because I love her. I love her, you know, I love her children's books. But that's really exciting. Has she given any indication on, you know, what it's going to be about or when she's looking to release, or is it still?
So it's following the lives of the girls in the, I think it was the Girls Quartet series. And
Okay.
there was four books in the series, I think, or three. And I think it was Girls in Love, Girls Out Late, and Girls in Tears. And I think it's going to be basically just like their lives, what's going on there for them as adults, as 40-year-old women.
Love that.
I know, right? The thing is, I remember reading them. I was so young. I don't think I really remember what they were about, but I'm still stoked. I'm still really excited for it. So she, yeah.
Yeah, I am. I'm really excited, and I think to have somebody who, let's face it, I mean, a lot of Jacqueline Wilson's books, you grew up with them, they're part of your childhood. And I think to bring that into adulthood as a reader, it's so exciting. I'm really excited for it.
I was saying to Adam last night, actually, Jacqueline Wilson's Candy Floss was the first hardback that my mum ever got me. And I was sitting there yesterday and I was like, I knew that I remembered the cover. It was pink and it was yellow and it was so pretty. And I was absolutely obsessed with this book. And I said to Adam yesterday, I need to find this book to show you because it's just, it's unlocked something in me. So it's a release that I didn't know I needed. But in terms of when it's being released, I don't think she gave a date. I think she said this summer.
Okay, so that's quite soon then.
Yeah, we're adding it to the list.
Do you know, I've just pulled up on Google Images just Jacqueline Wilson books, because her covers were always incredible. They
Yeah.
were, I mean, I know they were obviously aimed at children, but they were just always amazing colors, great fonts, just they were always such fun books, which actually makes me really excited to see what she's going to do with the cover.
I know. I mean, this was my first hardback. Hold on, I was like, it was my favorite book in the world. And you're right, just the art on all of her covers are just, you can tell it's a Jacqueline Wilson book. They all, you can just see a Jack. Even if her name wasn't on the thing, you could tell that it was one of hers.
Absolutely. And I actually think that's something that authors, like current authors, seem to be doing a lot more of, is they really want to be identified by their covers. And you're seeing a lot more authors who are sort of staying in the one cover realm, just so that, they are becoming identifiable. But you're right. I mean, I think Jacqueline Wilson was probably one of the first where the second you saw a Jacqueline Wilson book, you're
Yeah.
right, you could cover the name and you would absolutely know that it was hers. So yeah, I'm excited to see what she does with that. Really excited.
And maybe it's a conversation that we could do at a later date is that authors don't seem to have that identity with their book covers as much, or there was a period of time where that stopped. Because even like Roald Dahl stuff, like you could tell his books were his books based on the artwork, and the series of unfortunate events were all very similar. And I think for a period of time, there wasn't that same thought put into covers. Like a series might match, but then they'll go on and do a different series and it would look completely different. And I would love to see authors get back to having like just a solid identity with all of their books. Because you said it the other day with the Christina Loren books, she's got the new covers, but the Love and Other Words book doesn't even look like it should be written by her. It's so completely different, beautiful but different. And maybe that's a conversation that we could have in a future pod.
Absolutely, and I think it's obviously, yeah, we will talk about it in depth in a future episode. But just one point I want to make is we're seeing so many authors just now who they're redoing their covers. You're seeing it
Yeah.
with Elle Kennedy's done it in her Off Campus and BriarU covers. We saw it with Becca Mack. She obviously changed her Playing for Keeps covers. So you are seeing, I think, more and more authors trying to pull covers into their identity, which, I mean, I absolutely love.
Yeah.
I think as well, it's interesting because people now, I mean, we're prime examples of this, where we talk about our bookcases and our book collections. And I think authors are sort of tying into that more, and they know people are going for beautiful covers. And that's not to say that the original covers aren't beautiful, but I think authors they're trying to get that more identity.
And I think it's where the money lies as well. Like you could write a phenomenal book, we'll read it on a Kindle, which in the grand scheme of things isn't that much money. You bring out a good hardback, oh, we're there. We're spending good money for that cover. So I think I'm
Yeah,
happy that
I
they're
think,
changing.
yeah, definitely. And for example, Off Campus and BriarU are an excellent example, because I wouldn't have purchased the older covers just because I'm not a huge fan. They were people covers, which we've spoken about before, but we're not huge fans of that. Her new cartoon covers are incredible, and it is two series that I would love to have in my bookcase eventually, but my bookcase is massively filling up, so I need to have a little rejig and see what space I have.
I was having a thought the other day because I looked at my bookcase and I was like, oh, there's so many books that I want to get, but I don't want to fill up the bookcase. I feel like I want to build something downstairs in the living room, kind of like a wall for like TV in the middle and then just surrounded in books. I think it's my new dream.
I have swithered with in my office. I have a wall where I've got some frames up and I've got some sort of like bookish quotes up there, which I love. But I do question if I do something similar, as you say, with having a lot of shelves up there, but almost boxed shelves rather than just the single shelves, because I really only have space for the one bookcase that I have behind me. I don't really have space to bring in another bookcase, but there's so many books that I need the physical copies of, and I just don't have the space. So yeah, I am considering something similar. Can I just say as well, we need to update. Last week we said we're on a book buying ban for March.
Yeah.
Both of us were on the verge of breaking that ban. Did you?
No, because I was let down. I can tell you something. If Fourth Wing Paperback was in Bluewater, that ban would have been well and truly broken, and I would have not felt any shame about it. I physically could not break my ban because the book was not available.
So you didn't break the ban, but it was coincidence rather
Yes.
than a conscious thought.
Yeah.
Okay. I have not broken the ban either, but that's more just been a case of I've stopped myself from going into town rather than I've gone and just chosen not to buy the books. I've locked myself in the house. But yeah, I think, I mean, we initially said till payday. We only have 2 days till payday. So yeah, I'm thinking.
So far.
I know. I'm thinking we're gonna make it. We're gonna make it. But I tell you, I feel like April, my bank balance is going to take a battering.
It's definitely going to take a battering because we are reuniting.
We are.
I'm so
We are.
excited.
Yeah.
So, if you're in the UK, you may well have heard of 66 Books. I'm not actually too sure what they are. Are they a wholesale company?
I think so. It's a warehouse in Hemel Hempstead, and they do, I think it's sort of wholesale,
It
but they
is
basically,
wholesale, yeah.
but basically once a month, I think it's the first weekend of every month, they have public days where the Saturday and Sunday you can go, and all their books are 70% off RRP.
I'm so excited. We're going to town.
We are. I'm very excited. I mean, apart from the fact that I get to see you, which I'm so excited about, and I know we're gonna have an awesome weekend together because we are doing some bits in London as well, which I'm really excited about. But yeah, I think for me, going to 66 Books, yeah, I'm excited to see what they have because they don't have an inventory that you can sort of search for or anything. But yeah, I'm very, very excited.
Yeah, I wanted to have like more of a calm month in April because we done the whole we bought quite a few books at the end of February, beginning of, well, let's be honest, it was not normal. It was unhinged, the amount of books that
Yeah.
we picked up.
February was crazy. I mean, a ridiculous amount of books bought.
Yeah, and I thought, you know what, we'll ease ourselves back in having broken the ban. Now I plan to go to town. Our husband should be prepared because we shall be in there for a few hours.
Yeah, I think they're quite scared, to be fair. But no, I think as well, from what I've seen on TikTok, people that have been before, it's they have some beautiful classics with different covers as well, which I'm very, very
Yeah.
excited about. But yeah, we'll definitely do a haul on what we get,
Yeah, for
and do
sure.
some content about what's in there. I do not, one thing I have seen on TikTok a lot is that people are saying they have a huge range of children's books. So if you are a parent or a teacher or, somebody who's looking for children's books, I think it is actually a great resource for children's books. But yeah, I'm excited to go and see what they have.
Yeah, and we're also going to be going to a Waterstones in, I can't remember which one is it the Trafalgar Square one? It's beautiful. We've seen many of photos of it, and it's got a very lovely cafe area in there, and I'm very excited about that as well. I mean, I'm not going to do as much damage because, let's be honest, it's Waterstones. But last time we went to Waterstones, I think Adam nearly had a heart attack at that checkout. But there's like £50. He was like, £50? You've got three books. What did they mean?
Yeah, I mean, Waterstones is it's not the cheapest shop in the world, but the one that we're going to, I'm going to be absolutely shameless here. I cannot wait to photograph the shit out of the store because it looks incredible. And I think I just there are so I've seen so many photos of it online. I just want to replicate. So yeah, you may hear next time that I've been kicked out of Waterstones in London because I've
Yeah.
taken far too many
They're
photos.
like, Miss, could you please put the camera away? And then this had to be escorted out of the store. Do you know what it is? Waterstones is an experience. You don't go
Yes.
there. You don't go there to buy hundreds of books because you would have to be a millionaire. You go there for the experience. You walk in, it's all cut. I mean, aside from the fact that it's always boiling, and I know that we
Yeah.
took some heat for saying that, but it's true. It's boiling in there. Aside from the fact that it's always boiling, it's an experience. The mood is nice, it's quiet. Everyone in there loves books. I seem to always get approached when I'm in there. People give me recommendations. I don't know. There's something about me, apparently.
I feel like Waterstones, it's very friendly. I feel like everyone that goes in there, you're right, everybody loves books and it is almost just an open conversation. You'll be standing looking at something and someone will come and sidle up next to you and start this conversation about, oh, have you read this series? Have you started it? And I sort of love that. It's a little bit, Waterstones is almost like a club where you go in and there's no rules about what you can talk about, and it yeah I sort of love it.
Yeah, they've always got a cafe in there. Well, most Waterstones tend to have like a little cafe area, and I love that. You can get a book, go get a coffee, have a little sit down, have a chat about the books that you, oh. If
Yeah.
Waterstones ever closed down, I don't know what I would do. It's not even a thought worth thinking. Okay, what would?
No.
Oh, that's terrifying.
We'd have to go and start up a works book club.
But no, because the works. Listen, as good as the deals are in the works, it's hell. Those stores are hell. Like they're so busy.
Yeah. I mean, it's there are times, and I my mind cast back to Nottingham in December. Granted, it was the middle of the Christmas markets, but it was like a sardine tin in that store. You could not move. And the thing is, everyone had jackets and bags and scarves. Oh, it was torture, sheer torture. I mean, I still managed to make purchases, but
Yes, I was just about to say the thing is, you seem to thrive. I think it's because you're so short. Like, no one sees you coming. So you just sort of like burrow your way through. Like,
yeah, do you know, yeah, I'm a little bit of a, yeah,
Whereas I'm
I
quite tall, I can't do that. Like, I can't just like barge through people because they're like, what are you doing?
Yeah, to
So.
be fair, I have been in work stores when it's been busy, and I've sort of crouched down and done this little sort of not army crawl, because I'm not like on my stomach, but I have sort of just crawled along, kind of crouched down to try and get in amongst the books. So yeah, I mean, anyway, I love the works. I do. I think their deals are awesome, but yeah, the shop can be stressful at times.
Dangerous, even. I would
Yeah.
argue dangerous.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes they can be.
I think that's it for us this week, guys. As always, if you enjoyed the episode, do not forget to hit the follow button wherever you are listening to the podcast.
And don't forget to come join us on Instagram at TikTok at Books and Mockers Pod. I hope you have a great week, and we will see you next time.
Yep, speak to you next week. Bye.
Bye.